Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I am speaking with Friar Roderick from the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate in Griswold, Connecticut. And you might recognize him as the roving reporter from Air Maria. Thank you for joining us today, Friar Roderick.
It's good to be here, Corey.
So tell us, our audience, a little bit about what Air Maria is and how they can access your video log.
Right. Well, access is easy with the internet. So just go to airmaria.com and you'll have it. And so that's Air Maria as in the air we breathe. And then maria.com, one word, airmaria.com. And so that's an apostolate of the Franciscans of the Immaculate. That's the order I'm in. So it's a Catholic religious order that is very Franciscan and very Marian. So our sort of tagline is that is TV and media that is Catholic, Franciscan, and Marian. And so we're trying to promote Mary and the Franciscan lifestyle, which is kind of counter to the culture of death,
sure,
if you will. That's very hedonistic, materialistic, and resulting in a disregard for family life and the human person.
So on your website, you have postings of unbelievable number of videos. Where do you get some of your material, and what can people expect, you know, on your website?
Yeah, well, there's lots of videos. Actually, the most populous video is the homilies, which are our daily occurrence on Air Maria. So we film the homilies of in Griswold, Connecticut, where our friary is and where Air Maria is based. And so every morning we go up there and set up the camera and capture the homily and upload it to Air Maria and many share sites as well, like YouTube and Daily Motion and Gloria TV, GodTube, all the regular Catholic and secular and Christian share sites.
And that's a lot of pressure, it seems, to be put on your priest, because like you say, the homilies are posted daily, but every day they knock out a home run. So it's really well worth listening to the homilies on a daily basis.
Right. Yeah, we think that the combined viewership is in the thousands for each
wow,
for each video, for each homily. So it ends up really reaching a lot of people, which more in the actual chapel is
sure,
really quite small, so
right,
it reaches very few people otherwise. And so we're very, it's very encouraging in that regard. And we've built up so much of a following that any video we put up gets a lot of exposure, so it's very helpful in that regard. But we have the Face of Pro-Life on, which is some of our most regular, larger videos. Most of our videos are around 10 minutes,
mm-hmm,
not half hour.
But it's a good way, too, that, you know, if you're not in our viewership, other people can access the videos that we
right,
produce here.
Right.
And I get the information out in a wider audience than
right,
the Connecticut cable networks.
Right, right. So this is nice. We're on all the Connecticut cable networks here, which is quite a large audience, a well-established audience. But the goal is to put this programming on as many outlets as we can. So that's why we're going to YouTube and GodTube, which all have their own audiences. Even
right,
though anyone can access any one of those things, they tend to have their own groups of audiences. So to have access to all those audiences is really key, and we've have all automated systems to try and do that.
You're expanding your audience by tapping into other
right,
venues, like
right,
you said, GodTube and YouTube, and
right,
things like that. Oh, okay.
Yep, and so that's very helpful. And we have other things like conferences, doing a lot of conferences, which some of them are directly pro-life orientated. Went to a Birthright state conference recently that some people involved with Face of Pro-Life are very involved with, including yourself and Darlene. So
it was a very good conference, very good
yes,
speakers
very good
that
speakers,
they had there.
Right, so. And we're trying to do more of that and blend the what our goals are for Air Maria, which is getting good content with a service that provide editing and recording for people who are running a conference. Mm-hmm. So when they're done with the conference, they have a we can produce a DVD for them on the spot using the live editing and multiple cameras.
Wow.
And even now we have the ability to, you know, put a presentation from a like a PowerPoint presentation that the speaker's using. We can tap off their computer directly into our system and therefore produce very good quality recording of what they're showing on the screen. So we hope to use that as a means for getting, you know, the recording rights to come in and get better quality recordings.
Sure.
And so
a lot of times when you go to a conference, it's much better to have the information so that you can look at it later,
right,
again and again,
right,
or to even show other people that might not have been able,
right,
to attend the conference.
So that again blends with our idea of getting the media out in as many ways possible. Really, as St. Maximilian Kolbe said, who's our main patron saint for our order, who started a whole vast mass media public institute in Poland in the 1930s, ended up being one of the largest mass media outfits in all of Europe at the time.
Yeah.
He actually had this saying where we go out and spread the Marian devotion using all legitimate means possible. And so
Sounds like you're doing exactly that.
Yeah, we're quite focused on that. So it's good to see that focus, I think. That's
yeah,
what I always
yeah.
like to see, the focus. So
I understand you went to a men's conference recently. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we went to a men's conference in, it was in Massachusetts, and it's a very small parish, really, but the speaker, the organizer, was a man by the name of Mike Catone, who was a master sergeant in Iraq, now retired as a state trooper. And he wrote a book about Christian leadership called The Leadership of Christ, I believe is the name of it. And it goes through the acronym of using the word leadership. And I don't remember all the titles of it, but it was very well laid out in a very organized way, and ended up incorporating a lot of his work that he did as a special forces unit leader in Iraq, where they actually went in and lived with the Iraqis and showed them how to be a good fighting unit. And so it actually was a very culturally involved thing for them, and involved getting involved in their life and being living their life and having them accept him as one of them. And that he applies all that to say for men in our own world today. You can imagine, you know, in Iraq with people who are not Muslim fanatics trying to live a good life, when the Muslim fanatics are really trying to push and it's this war on them, and they really don't have a lot of options, you know.
Right.
And here comes this these special force guys that really teach them how to give them an option to be organized and to take leadership in that kind of environment. He applies that to our current situation, which is very similar.
Exactly.
Men are not encouraged to take leadership today.
Right. We need it so desperately.
Especially in families.
Yeah.
The stories of the day is about men not being involved in a leadership way in the families.
Yeah. If they're in the family at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone's a no-show. They aren't even showing up for battle.
Right.
They're not even showing up for, to be there, to be fathers, to be husbands, to be. So here we are. They are in a very similar situation, and he's applying all his ideas, and he's talking about battle plans. He's talking about have we executed our battle plan well. This whole checklist of things of how we assess how well we did today, you know, are we sitting down making a clearly well thought out battle plan? Have we executed it well? And have we learned to be humble? Have we learned to be accepting our, you know, our subordinates and as real people and all these really good things. You'd be surprised what the military, you know, can do if it does it well, you know.
Yeah. That sounds really interesting. Is this something that is posted on Air Maria that people can access?
You know, not yet, but this morning I was working on it, trying to get we are having a problem with importing it, apparently, so we're I just downloaded a few different softwares to try to do that. We're getting close.
But it will be available.
Yes, it will be available. Yeah.
And what would it be under? I mean, I know you have very many categories. Is it just...
It'll be under conferences.
Conferences.
So that's a little bit of a broad category at this point. So we might, in the future...
And what was the name of the conference? So we might be able to tag it.
Right. Leadership... there's a men's leadership conference is
men's
what it was.
Men's leadership conference.
Yes. But exact title, I don't...
And what parish was this at?
In Munson, St. Patrick's in Munson, Massachusetts.
Right. Now, I know you have...
I just want to say there's like two other talks that were, or three other talks. One was by a Captain Gruters, who was a five-year POW in Vietnam. And he's like one of the most famous speakers in that regard. And and Brigadier General Stringham. Joseph Stringham, who was also a World War Vietnam vet, who was actually the one who John Wayne played in the movie Green Berets.
Oh, no kidding.
He was one of the first Special Forces pioneers to do this idea where you go in and train a local native force to be able to stand up to an overpowering foreign force. Or
now, when you saw the speakers list, were you kind of skeptical about how it was going to work into the Air Maria?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, Captain Gruters and Joseph Stringham are very good Catholics, and they put in a lot of good Catholic content. Captain Gruters was very, he's very pro-life, too. He's very, kept in, putting all his comments in about, you know, how misguided some of our priorities are. There he was in this environment, and he was actually happier in that prisoner of war camp, which was absolute
hell.
To use the word hell. I mean, sorry if you have to use a big H word, but it's just that's the only word that's really able to describe the reality of it. And it's you know, and he was actually end up being, you know, it's rough. Very, very rough. But at a certain point, when you started turning toward our Lord more,
right,
it actually came heaven on earth. Even though,
the physics, focus all of his energies,
right?
Yeah.
And he's saying, "Why are we so focused on material things when we could be focused instead on large families? You know,
right,
you
know, right.
And, you know, why are we so worried about limiting families and stuff when life is good But he was just so inspirational. I came back thinking, all those things I'm so worried about and so upset that this so-and-so did this to me or
right.
didn't.
Or this video won't download.
Right,
Maria.
Yeah, some sort of petty little thing. And this guy just said, you know, just what he went through was just unbelievable. So it was very inspirational. Just, from, you know, just so.
Puts everything right in different perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
Talked about pride and all the things that almost killed him there. So it's very, very spiritual, and so it's kind of a real high point that I still haven't.
Yeah, so I really hope you can get this downloaded quickly, so
yes,
we can all see it.
Yes.
So I know you've also done some work with the National Organization for Marriage.
Right.
That
right.
Brian Brown is now associated with.
Right, Brian Brown. So it's that's the whole effort to keep the definition of marriage as between a man and a woman, which actually has some very broad support on a constitutional level throughout states. I mean, mm-hmm. the definition of marriage is that's very important for the pro-life message, because it's obviously that's where you know kids are born, isn't
right.
it, between men and women. So.
Ideally, yeah.
Ideally, and keep that family life together.
And now, what have you been able to, what association have you been able to keep up with that?
Just basically providing some, recording conferences and different events. They have they had one recently at the Knights of Columbus, which was on the state level of the Rhode Island Knights of Columbus. And that was Scott Speer was the speaker, who's not Catholic, but he's very warmly welcomed by the Knights of Columbus. And he spoke very well and very eloquently about the subject. And people stayed afterwards so long, too, talking about it. You know, so he really, really was a good speaker and a good, very inspirational. And they also have a yearly event in August where they have a big family celebration. So it's not really a political thing. It's all about bringing your men and women, man and wife and couples with all their children can come and have basically a big outdoor picnic right in the waterfront. And
wow.
So it's a very, very positive event. So it's, they're not, all fire and brimstone. They're
right.
Also very, very positive.
Right, not just political, but
it's not just political.
Yeah,
it's not just
inspiring families.
Right.
Now, are some of these videos on Air Maria as
yes,
well?
Yes, they are. Yep.
And that would be under NOM?
Not. You can use that as a
search tool.
Search tool, right? Search. So we also have, various ways of getting around Air Maria. It's basically a blog, but so it has a lot of. Search engine type things that keep find what you want. So
it's really an involved site, and it's really well worth visiting. Even if you watch one or two videos, I mean they're really really good. I know that you've often done some live streaming,
right?
And are you going to be doing something like that from the March for Life this year? Or?
We might. We've done that in the last 2 years. But we might actually hold off on that because we might want to get more live, regular live programming going. So we built up a little bit of a live audience before doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is kind of hard to get an audience together unless there is many people who are regularly tuning in to.
Like a regular type of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So, but you do go down to the March for Life.
That's right.
How is that? I mean.
It's great. We do. We try to record many different interviews down there. So we interview many people who come. We go to American Life League and do recordings there with the various personalities who are doing talks for American Life League.
Yeah, it seems like your uniform gets you like in
right.
many places, good access that
right.
most people don't,
right.
don't get.
It's a good pass to get into some places, so it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, you've really been able to speak to some amazing pro-life leaders.
Right, yeah. Certainly, Father Thomas Eitenhower, who was in charge of Human Life International, and Father Frank Lavone, of the Priest for Life. We've talked to, we interviewed Alveda King.
Right.
And
she's the niece of Martin Luther King.
Yeah, niece, the niece of Martin Luther King, and she's...
Very
pro-life, yes. So it's very interesting that she's makes a connection between pro-life and the whole racism,
right.
basically associating the whole targeting of black people to the genocidal mentality that was consistent with Ku Klux Klan.
Right,
know?
Right.
So it's interesting.
And Margaret Sanger was
Margaret
eugenic.
Sanger
who
very
was,
much eugenic. Yeah. It's not known that she's very, very much involved in eugenics. And very much in league with Nazi principles
right.
in that time. So it's good to see if someone's such a good pro-life leader, a black leader,
right.
And so associated with the greatest of the black leaders, Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
to be pointing that out, because it's a bit of an affront to black people, I think, to associate the, abortion and the right women's rights to abortion with the whole
civil rights
yeah.
thing.
Yes, right. It's not at all equivalent.
I mean, there's a much closer association with abortion and slavery than
right.
there really is abortion,
exactly.
abortion's rights and civil rights.
Exactly. It's, they're doing abortion for the same reason they're doing the slavery. They consider black people to be less than human,
mm-hmm.
and why they allow abortion. because unborn children are considered less than human. Right. They're not given that or full personhood.
And it's pretty much the same language that was in both the Dred Scott case and the Roe versus Wade case.
And the Nazis, the excuse was the Jews were not human.
Right. And those who supported them.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's so crazy. That was the excuse for a lot of horror that happened there. So.
So you do have plans to go down for the March for Life, and you're just going to try to, you know, use your influence to nab some of the big names and
big names and small names. Just get the general the people who are on the streets and why are they there? I mean, that's just some of the greatest stories. And you see some of the you have little kids, you have crowds of high school kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And college.
Yeah, and it's funny too. You go there and if you watch the mass media, you would think that this is as much of a pro-abortion event as it is a pro-life event.
Right.
And certainly in one sense, you might say they have a point there because that is the day they should be celebrating because that is on the day when Roe v. Wade happened. But no one's there celebrating that. Everyone knows it's not something to celebrate.
Except for 10 people maybe standing around this.
And that's about what you see. And always in the same spot, right in front of at the very end, they come out and kind of show their little signs there.
That's true.
But the mass media always flocks around those people.
Yeah.
And they try and paint this picture of the of that. And they don't even show the mass size of this event. This is a 300,000 person event, conservatively speaking. I mean, this is in the blows away. This is like a big event.
It
this is in the shuts down the city. Crowds, the subways. They have to have many more trains that day to handle it. They have parking lots set aside for all the bus loads of people, buses after buses after buses. And they have this whole stadium set aside to have masses for this event.
I know. I mean, the Ryerson Center used to be like the one venue. Now they had to open two more venues because they couldn't fit the people in the Ryerson Center.
Ryerson Center, right?
And that's before the March for Life.
That's the day before, and so those are all people who are coming down as on pilgrimage. And
it really is a huge, huge event. And I remember, I think it was last year, one of the major magazines like Time or Newsweek was painting it as, you know, a bunch of old people.
Right,
you know,
right,
like,
right.
All the old people are coming out today. It's like,
kidding? And then they were right in a sense. All the people were all that were there of those who were in support of Roe v. Wade. So in a sense, they were right. But they weren't catching at all being honest as to what the event was all about, which is the only people really celebrating that event are the pro-lifers who are there to protest the Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, and the crowd's getting younger and younger every year.
And it's and larger and larger, and it's the future is definitely the pro-life, and we want to capture all that on Air Maria and try and just basically make that more known in whatever way we can. So
it was interesting. I was talking to somebody recently, and I can't even think of who it was, but, when you go, you're walking up Constitution Avenue towards the Supreme Court.
Right.
Just a sea of people. It's always great, like, when you get up to the top of the hill to kind of look back and see the huge throngs of people behind you.
You always got to turn around at that point to see that point. That,
everybody's always taking pictures.
Yeah, but cameras up and taking pictures.
The one building that you come up to on the left-hand side, there's always people sitting in the windows or on the top of the building and waving and everything. I found out that was Fox News.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's the Fox News building. I'm like, there's only one building, really, that people, you definitely see watching and supporting us walking by.
Do they promote the size, or at least show the size of the crowd?
I don't know, because I never get home in time to see of the coverage, so you never know. But they have definite vantage point. I mean, I've seen the cameras up on top of the building, and they would definitely be the ones to be able to portray it accurately.
You can get some videos I've seen on YouTube that which are very good, that and definitely are done by small groups, but that actually have some rooftop shots of the crowds and some...
You'd actually really need an aerial shot.
Yeah.
And you see the helicopters flying over and everything, but you never see anything produced from it.
Right. Right. Which is really weird.
Yeah.
It is it's going to go down in history as a statement, I think.
Yeah, it's like a blackout.
Right,
you know,
right. The blackout of this will be recorded in history and will be a major thing pointed to as one of the sicknesses of our mass media and our culture that cannot face that.
Yeah, can't face the truth.
Cannot face that. It's really weird.
It's almost like they have a sick fascination with it because they're there.
Right.
But they will not
show
what it is.
Right.
It's
really a phenomena. It's a major phenomena, and trying to break through that, and because you do get it broken out, and enough people talk about it, as showing how biased they are, they will start talking about it, as they did say in Darfur. The Catholic Church is talking about that, and only them. But they were talking about it and talking about it and talking about it and mentioning over and over again how the mass media is ignoring this, and finally. The dam broke, and they all poured out at once, condemning the whole thing. And so you never know what could happen. But right now, it's the reality that that America's pro-life, and popularly so, grassroots-wise, and the youth and the future is going to be pro-life. That is eventually going to bust onto the mass media as a burst dam.
Yeah. So it's great that you guys are using the tools, you know, afforded to you, because a lot of times, you know, people say that the internet, you know, can be dangerous, you know, a lot of bad information on it, and you're actually using those tools, like the Pope really wanted us to.
Right, and we don't want as Catholics to have the idea that that mass media is bad. We want to have the idea is good, but it really is a challenge to figure out how to use mass media and know that we are numerically on the mass media anyways not the most prominent feature on the mass media, but with the right use of the mass media, we should be able to turn the tide.
To promote, and promote the truth, really.
Right, right.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all the work that you do on Air Maria. We hope that you go to airmaria.com because there's really a wealth of information. And, of course, our show, you can tell your family and friends about our show on Air Maria. And we hope that you will look in the mirror next time and realize yours, too, is the face of pro-life. Please join us next time.